Hello, everyone. I'm Darian Gold, and welcome to All Things Pilates Season 5. There is a collective fascination with Joe Pilates, his method, and inventions. The exercise paradigm continues to evolve, as does our understanding of Joe's genius. So join us, because we know there is always more to explore. Jen Murphy, our guest today, writes for the Wall Street Journal and has two columns, What's Your Workout? And Anatomy of a Workout. Recently, Jen wrote the WSJ article, Men Suddenly Feel the Pull of Pilates, helping to further promote the reality that the Pilates method is for every body. Jen has interviewed public figures from Sarah Palin and the Reverend Al Sharpton to Drew Brees and Lester Holt on their fitness habits. I wanted you, my listeners, to hear Jen's thoughts on what she thinks or why she thinks it's taken men so long to embrace Joe's method. Hello, Jen. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for your time today, because I know you're a very busy writer.
I am.
You have quite a fitness background, especially outdoors. I've seen so many posts on your Instagram, and you're just in all these exotic places, and you always look like you're having a blast. How did this all begin for you?
I studied journalism. I always knew I wanted to be a writer. I'm very lucky that I get to write about things that I love and that interest me. And the Wall Street Journal was actually my first job out of college, but I was actually covering the South American stock markets, which I quite frankly had no interest in. And I got very lucky because one of the editors in charge of kind of mentoring the younger assistant news editors, she remembered that I was a personal trainer. She saw that on my resume. I had been a trainer in college, and we were just launching Personal Journal at the time. And she came up to me and said, I have this idea for a column and I want you to write it. And it was pretty unheard of for someone straight out of college to get their own column in the journal. And I think most people thought, everyone joked that it was the fluff of the journal, but people like the fluff. And I feel incredibly lucky that, you know, 19 years later, I'm still writing the column, which I still can't believe. And I think it just shows our readers are really interested in health and wellness.
19 years ago when you started, can you tell just based on the material and the types of people you interviewed that you have grown as a journalist, as a writer, and also what is happening in the fitness arena?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I think, you know, my editors, the journal is so fantastic. Like, they keep me on my toes and always push me. So I think working for a news outlet of that caliber always, it improves my journalism and my writing because I have editors who really push me and care. You don't get that at every newspaper or magazine. And, you know, some things I joke at the end of the day. So when COVID hit the journal, we nearly dropped the column because editors were like, oh gosh, gyms are closed. Like, people can't work out. And I had to laugh. Like, I personally love being active outdoors. If I had my choice between a gym or being outside, I'd be outside. I also travel. I write about travel in addition to writing about fitness. So I've become an expert at improvising so I could keep fit on the road. So I know you don't need a gym to be fit. You just need to be motivated and creative. So I think what we've seen in the fitness world is people getting a lot more creative with their workouts.
Maybe because of COVID.
Maybe because of COVID. I truly think, like, at the end of the day, you can do push-ups, safe sit, like a safe version of sit-ups where you're not hurting your back, lunges, squat. Like, you don't need a lot to get stronger and healthier. But I think we live in such a society of entertainment that we want workouts that are entertaining. Hence, you see so many more classes that are group fitness classes, and they're choreographed, and some have crazy like multicolor lights, and it's all about like the cute outfits you're wearing. So I do think for some people, like, it's almost like they need to be tricked into exercising. Like, they want it to be fun and they want it to be entertaining. But at the end of the day, like, you can,
they want to be distracted too.
Yes, that's another good point. They want to be distracted, and is like, you're gonna, something that is fun for you, you'll look forward to doing more often, and you're more likely to stick to it rather than if you find your workout monotonous and boring. So, but it's wild to me. Like, there are just so many different, and I think that is the key of my column. I like to think that there is a workout out there for everyone. So I hope over the years that something I've written has convinced a reader who might think like, I hate every workout I've tried, it might have introduced them to something they love.
Now, you have two columns though. Did they come together hand in hand, or did you start one?
So we started What's Your Workout? And when editors were concerned with COVID that people wouldn't have access to gyms, that's when we launched Anatomy of a Workout, which has actually become the more popular.
More interesting.
And I think, again, for a lot of people, they just go through the gym and they go through the motions. And my idea, I'm super nerdy. Like, I always want to like know why I'm doing things and what it's working. And my deal with this column is really to educate readers. Like, here's why you should do a lunge, and here are the muscles it's working, and here is why this will help improve your daily quality of life. And it is, people really love the column. So I think they are curious and want to be educated. It's interesting, particularly our older demographic of readers.
Yes. You're helping them see that it's never too late and you're never too old.
Never.
Never. Now, when did you decide to write the Pilates article? How did that come about?
I have to think about that. So I like to, I'm always trying new workouts. I'm a runner, so Pilates is particularly good for me. It really helps keep me from having muscle imbalances. And I remember I was telling a friend I was going to Pilates, and her husband said, "Oh, I love Pilates." And I was kind of surprised. I shouldn't be surprised. And he was saying how suddenly he used to love being the only man in class, but suddenly he was seeing more men in classes. And I thought that was really interesting. So I started talking to different instructors and studios, and they were also saying they were seeing more men who were doing Pilates. And then you'd see on social media or in headlines how these celebrities like Justin Bieber were doing Pilates, or Harry Styles. So it was kind of a combination of my friend's husband mentioning how much he liked it, and then seeing that these kind of celebrities and also a lot of athletes were also starting to publicly talk about how they love having Pilates as part of their routine.
As you know, a skeptic might say that, of course, men are feeling the pull of Pilates, because that's where all the beautiful and in shape women are, and for that matter, men, right? So when you were interviewing these men, did you get a sense that perhaps that was maybe a factor, or did you just straight up, they were saying core and stretching?
It was actually the opposite, believe it or not. One gentleman I interviewed had posted on, he really enjoyed going to Pilates. At this time, he was the only man in class, and he worried that one, he was making women in the class uncomfortable because he's the only man. And two, he worried that they thought he was creepy. So he posted on Reddit to get other people's opinions. Like, is it creepy if I'm the only man in the Pilates class? So I think it's kind of being outnumbered that might have in the past prevented more men from participating. But yeah, I don't think they're going there to ogle the beautiful women or men.
Self-preservation.
Yeah.
They want to get stronger, and they see, maybe they have guy friends that are doing it, and they're seeing how they are feeling great in their body and they have no more injuries, or they're healing from injuries much more quickly.
Exactly.
Yes. In your opinion, why do you think it has taken men so long to accept Joe's method? And you know, I always say this when we talk about men and Pilates, Joe was a guy. He was like a guy's guy.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's taken so long?
I think there are a few things. Like if you look at, I mean, yoga was started by men as well and took a longer time in the modern age for more men to adopt yoga. It was seen as kind of like the women's workout, quote unquote. So I think part of it is marketing. In general, yoga's become more mainstream than Pilates. And I think part of that is the equipment can be, whether you're a man or a woman, the equipment can be a little daunting. It is pricier than taking a yoga class, at least from what I've seen. And I do, if you look back, like, yes, Pilates was started by a man, a very manly man. But when Joseph opened his studio in New York and the dance community, and that was dancers who were both men and women, but when the dance community embraced it, I think it got this stereotype for being a workout for dancers. And unless you're a dancer, I don't know a ton of men who are looking to get long, lean, like lithe bodies. So I think there were a few things that came into play there. A lot of the original instructors were female dancers. And I think a lot of the men I spoke to were saying to see a male Pilates instructor really encouraged them to try Pilates for the first time. So yeah, I think there were a few things coming into play, but I do think once someone actually tries Pilates, whether you're a man or woman, you realize like, wow, these exercises are working muscles. Like my other workouts really don't work.
And you do Pilates, correct?
I do. I wish I did it more regularly. I'm a fan. I like using the reformer and the equipment. So I go to Legree, which is kind of like a souped up Pilates strength class. And I've done classic Pilates, but I do find like my body feels really good when I am in a routine doing Pilates. I think it really helps make sure I'm not getting injured, make sure my body is balanced in terms of musculature. I think it's a great compliment for runners. When I've done the New York Marathon, I've trained for it 3 times, and I always incorporated Pilates into my marathon training to make sure I didn't get hurt, actually. And I found it worked really well.
Do you know other runners that do practice Pilates?
I do have a few running friends that practice it. I find a lot of, particularly on Maui, a lot of athletes discover Pilates because they're recovering from injury, and that is their introduction to it. I know in my story, I mentioned that NBA star Kevin Durant, he credited Pilates with helping him rehab an Achilles tendon injury. So I think that injury recovery is the gateway for a lot of people, and then they realize, you know, you can watch a video of Pilates and it looks easy, but some of those small movements they're just incredibly hard and challenging. And I don't know a better core workout. It's just so incredible for the core.
Absolutely. In 2017, you wrote a yoga book titled The Yoga Man You All, which is, how did you come up with that exactly?
I will be honest, it was not my idea. It was my former colleague, Nick Fauchold's genius idea. And he knew I was a certified yoga instructor at the time. And I have a lot of male friends, and I've been telling Nick how I thought it was really funny when I would be traveling with them. We'd be on snowboard trips or surf trips or out for a run in a group setting, and one of the guys would always kind of pull me aside very discreetly and say like, hey, could you show me a yoga pose to help with this? Or they wouldn't, it was like, it was a secret. They didn't want anyone else to know. And I'm like, this is so weird. Like, why are you embarrassed that you do yoga or are interested in doing yoga? So Nick remembered that, and that's how it started. And it was like, I think at that time, there weren't, like now when I go to a yoga class, there are just as many, if not more, men in the class. But even back in 2017, that was not the case. So it was really just kind of a funny book to put out there. Like, here are the particular benefits men can get. It was meant to be to kind of answer those questions you might have but are embarrassed to ask the first time you go into a studio, and then just give people some poses that they could work on at home if they weren't ready yet. And like you said, like with COVID and all of these Zoom classes, I think it's a nice way for people who are self-conscious as a beginner to go into a class setting to kind of try it out at home. That said, I am a huge proponent of in-person classes, particularly for yoga and Pilates, because I do think form is so important, and there's nothing like having an instructor right there who can really like make sure your form is on point.
Do you teach now or you have no time?
When I tell you I travel a lot, I think I average 3 days at home a month. So I really got my certification to have my own knowledge so I could have a great practice when I'm on the road.
Do you sell your book or do you mention your book when you're on the road?
Oh, no, I don't.
Why not? What's the response been with your book?
Gosh, it came out a while ago. I mean, people really liked it. We made it. I thought it was funny. The design was meant to actually look like some type of like manual you'd see at like Best Buy or like a hardware store.
Corporate.
But you know, women can benefit from the book too. Yeah, I think at this point, yoga has become so mainstream. And I think for a lot of people, whether it's yoga or Pilates, like, we have become such a sedentary society and we are hunched over our laptops all day. Not everyone, but a large amount of the population. And incorporating just a few of these yoga or Pilates poses into your daily routine can really help undo some of the effects of sitting for prolonged periods. So that low back pain you might get or the crink in your neck.
Was it ever suggested that you teach a class at the Wall Street Journal?
I have not taught a class at the Wall Street Journal. This past February, my best friend was visiting me on Maui, and I did a little staycation at a hotel with her, and the yoga instructor did not show up, and the one resort guest was devastated. And my friend Catherine was like, "You, Jen, you can teach." So I led an impromptu class, and for work, I've gone on quite a few. I've had quite a few assignments, ski assignments that are pretty extreme, and have been asked by the lodge operators to lead a class for the men after our skiing every day, just to kind of loosen up the body. So occasionally I'll do impromptu classes.
Do you think the journal opens doors for you in ways that would not have had you been writing for a smaller publication?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I freelance, so I do write for quite a few publications. And the minute, like, there's just such authority and credibility to the Wall Street Journal, at least in my opinion. So when, you know, people get really excited to have their name featured in the Wall Street Journal or to be credited or to be a source in the journal. So it's definitely opened many doors. And I feel very, very lucky.
19 years and going strong.
19 years and going strong. And, you know, I think maybe like two to three times a year, I have like a, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to think of an idea? And the minute you have that doubt, you stumble on like five or six awesome ideas. So I'm always shocked what's out there. One of my favorite Pilates pieces, actually, I have to remember how long ago it was. It was with a fashion designer. And her name is escaping me, but she did kind of like a souped up version of Pilates.
What does that mean? What does that mean, souped up?
You know, there's classic Pilates and then you have
everything else.
Well, yeah, like Joe would probably be like, well, that's not really Pilates.
He'll say, that's not my work.
They might. So Trina Turk was the fashion designer. She's a LA fashion designer. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And she was really into Pilates. And we had done a profile on her. I believe it was like 2014. Yeah. And I think her class she went to, or her studio, is actually called Pilates Plus. And classes like that, it's really just a hybrid. So you might have the Cadillac and the Reformer, but then you might get down and do like traditional strength training with some dumbbells as well. So yeah, it's just, or it might be like choreographed to like high tempo music. So anything to add like something new and sexy, I feel like that's what the fitness industry is always doing with classes.
And to your point, what you were saying that they need to be entertained, and mm-hmm. I was saying they need to be distracted, mm-hmm. because as you know, in a yoga practice and a traditional Pilates practice, you're not interested in outside stimulation because you're so drawn into the work and your breath and how the breath and the body work in unison. So mm-hmm. you want a quiet space, and that's hard for people to quiet down.
And I think, you know, I did a column for the journal earlier this year on how post-COVID gyms were seeing more members interested in slowing down. So their classes, you know, HIIT classes used to be super popular and spin, but suddenly after COVID, like, people are tired. And I think they're a little more gentle with themselves. And they are overwhelmed by just like all of like Zoom and the phone calls and your Instagram. And so they are looking to kind of reset and be more mindful. So you are seeing a bigger interest in classes like Pilates, meditation, yin yoga that hadn't been there, you know, even just like 2 or 3 years ago. And you're seeing that from both men and women. So I think people are really starting to see the benefits of kind of turning inward and really focusing on like breathing and, am I really holding this pose correctly? And what part of my body am I feeling this in? So they're becoming more in tune with body and mind, which is really nice.
More self-aware.
Exactly.
Have you written about this in the Wall Street Journal or any of the other publications that you write for?
This was a story I wrote for the journal. I want to say it was in January or February. It was the beginning of the year, but it was more of a trend story on these different, on the popularity of these kind of slower, more gentle classes.
After COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself in the future when you're not skiing and you're not in a plane somewhere, that there is the Pilates man Yule on the horizon?
Don't know if there's a Pilates manual on the horizon. Maybe. You know, it's tough. Again, like it's crazy how much technology changes so quickly.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, we heard this with the journal, the anatomy of a workout column typically provides 6 exercises or a 6-exercise workout. And we create a GIF image out of each one. People really want to see a video or see things in motion rather than have it in a book, particularly if it's like an exercise that involves movement. So I could see like some type of Pilates manual app, maybe, where people can really actually like click and see how to perform an exercise rather than just look at an image in a book.
Did you get any kind of extra feedback from the men in your life or from your women friends who have men in their lives about your article and just opening the door more to, like I was saying in the beginning, that it's the reality. It's his work is for everybody's body. And I'm wondering if you experienced or people told you that they experienced more men sort of moving more into the studios with less self-consciousness, maybe.
Yeah, we had, you know, our readers, I try to keep up on the reader email, but we definitely had readers write in saying, like, thank you for this story, or this has piqued my interest, I'm going to try it at home. So yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's just getting that foot in the door. And I honestly don't think any longer that it's a fear of being the only man in the room. I think more people are intimidated by what looks like a torture device as a piece of equipment. And like, am I going to be able to use that? Like, how do you use that? So I really think sometimes the equipment intimidates people much more so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. My studio was in Hollywood on Sunset and Gardner. Mm-hmm. And there is some police activity. I don't recall why, but there's always drama in Hollywood. And a policeman came up to my studio. I don't think he had ever seen Pilates before based on his expression, but he walked into my studio and I think needed some information from me because I was right on Sunset. And you see his eyes going from, I'm sure he thought it was like a dominatrix thing, because his eyes went from my Cadillac, my reformer, my wall units. You could see the wheels turning. He was thinking like, what the hell is this? Never saw it before. And that's early 2000s. Yeah. And I'm sure law enforcement everywhere has incorporated and embraced Pilates. I can't imagine that they haven't.
And I think like what a lot of men told me who I interviewed for the article was that for them, yoga is more about the mindfulness aspect of the practice, where Pilates feels more of a workout and more almost like prehab, so you're preventing injury. So it's a nice complement, particularly men who, one gentleman was like a big skier and rock climber, so it really complements those other exercises people do. But yeah, they found it more of a workout than a mindfulness practice than yoga. That was the difference if they did both practices.
Did you find these men to interview? Or did they?
I did.
Okay. So you found athletes and regular guys.
Mm-hmm. Most were regular guys. Like we mentioned, athletes who've been quoted in the press or publicly speak about their Pilates practice. But yeah, most of them are regular men and of all ages.
It's wonderful, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Miss Jen, I think we probably could talk more because every time I start talking about Pilates and also yoga, because it's such a beautiful marriage.
It really is. It really is.
And if people did both, I can't imagine not ever feeling good in the body.
Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, a lot of people have talked to me about the cost being prohibitive. But I just feel like if you are really looking around out there, like mat Pilates is obviously less expensive than a class with machines, but there's so many deals out there or trials, like the Legree program I'm doing. I think usually a single class is $35, but they had a deal that was 10 classes for $100, which is 10 bucks a class. So if cost is prohibiting you from trying it, I just think there's so much out there online now that's free. Yeah. That you can try, and there are always deals you can find. So,
yes, Legree is someone's last name, or I've never heard of Legree.
That is a good question. It's a Pilates brand. So it's
like
a
Club
studio.
Pilates or something, a franchise. Yeah. It's a franchise.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. That's what you meant, sort of by souped up.
Well, again, and it's not classic, like they might add movements that Joseph wouldn't have. So
right.
Souped up means like a little, like I'm trying to think.
Non-traditional. Right. Like you say, there's lots of variety and lots of options for whatever you can afford. And if you can't afford anything, there's online lots of free classes, yoga too. Thank you for your time and good luck with all of your writing and all of your traveling.
Thank you. Yeah, I need the Pilates and yoga to prevent all the aches from being smushed into a plane. So
yeah,
exactly. Job.
Exactly. All right, Jen. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All Things Pilates is produced, written, edited, and hosted by me, Darian Gold. Mastered audio mix by Fabian Romero. This season, we have all original music by AKA Johnny. Also, if you're enjoying this podcast, you have the opportunity to support it for as little as $3 a month. You'll see the link in the show notes, and just know that every dollar helps me continue to bring you the most interesting guests in the Pilates community. Nature loves to partner with us, especially when we open up to playing with her and holding space for new experiences. Our connection with the outdoors only helps us keep our feet firmly planted. Forget who you think you are and allow Mama Earth to reintroduce herself to you. Thanks so much for tuning in, and meet you here in a couple of weeks for another episode of All Things Pilates.